I had to see in my life that I had to take away this self-consciousness, this sensitivity, this oversensitivity that I had about making myself the center of everybody's remarks and everybody's conversation. And when I started working on that part of my life, I began to realize that how I perceived things was the most hindrance, the biggest hindrance in my life. I don't know how I can get this out, but it had been the biggest hindrance in my life, how I perceived things that people said to me.
So it wasn't reality that was your problem, it was unreality.
No, that's right. How I thought people thought of me, or how I thought people said things about me. And what I want to say is that, are these mountains in your life real? Or are they simply smoke screens that the devil, that Satan has put in front of you to make you think they're real? Because when I look at it now, I think, oh, Barbara, you were such a goof. I mean, Satan made you feel like all these people were against you, and it was how you perceived it.
So let me add on to that, what you're saying then. You bought the lie.
I bought the lie, yes. For many years I bought the lie.
So then you were living with a wrong perception,
yes,
of yourself.
Of who I was, and also how I thought people thought I was.
Of the situation.
Yeah, right.
Okay, now let me take 2 Timothy 1:7 here that says, "For God has not given you, Barbara, a spirit of timidity, but of power, love, and discipline."
That's right.
Now, we walked into a restaurant last night, and I saw a lady that was in there ahead of us, and she was talking to the person that greeted at the door. And it was an Olive Garden. It was an Italian restaurant, right? And this woman was so stricken with timidity that she could hardly get the words out,
yes,
to the person.
Yes.
And she evidently had been sent by the family head. She said, "We have a group of five coming, but they're not all here yet." And I could see that it was very, very hard, that matter of just confronting that situation. And I felt so for this woman that was really, really dominated by fear. We could call it timidity or reticence or whatever. We put a lot of words on it, but it was just fear.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a matter of, it was a hard thing for her to walk in that restaurant and say, "I have five, a party of five coming, and so I need five and non-smoking." And they were saying, "Is it smoking or non-smoking?" But the timidity and the fear there, in that situation, mm-hmm, was binding that dear lady.
Yes.
She was a precious lady.
Mm-hmm.
You could tell that.
And so that's like in my life. I found out in my life the mountains went away when I start confronting what was inside of me.
Right.
The problem was in me. It wasn't around me. It wasn't people around me. It was me, Darren. And when I started confronting that and working on Barbara through the Word, and with scriptures like that, that's an excellent scripture. God has not given me a spirit of timidity, or as in my case, fear of man. I was so conscious about what everybody said to me. I had a absolute fear of man more than of God, and that was wrong.
That absolutely is wrong.
It is. It's a
but
sin.
Here's the way to get over that. If we're talking to someone today, and I'm sure we are, and you have a spirit of timidity or fear or reticence or just, I mean, it's just a terrible thing for you to confront even the smallest thing. Like to go to the post office and buy stamps, it just turns your insides upside down.
Mm-hmm.
Well, everybody has to buy stamps at some time. You can't always buy them out of a machine.
Everybody has to get gas,
mm-hmm,
too.
Right.
Yeah.
Man, I mean, there's these times of confrontation.
Yes.
I would take this 2 Timothy 1:7, and I would speak it over and over. I would say to myself, "God has not given me a spirit of fear or timidity, but of power, love, and discipline."
Mm-hmm.
I'd add to that Hebrews 10:35. "Cast not away your confidence, for it has a great reward." Now, Barbara, when I first started saying scriptures like that 20 years ago, it didn't have an immediate impact.
That's
but
right.
Now in this teaching, even when I say Hebrews 10:35, "Cast not away your confidence, for it has a great reward," my inner man has been trained to bow its knee to the Word of God,
mm-hmm,
to be responsive.
Mm-hmm.
So I can say that one time now and sense that there's a change going on inside of me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if I've really been whacked, I'll say it several times. But I'll tell you, it's never over three or four times, and I'm on top of it.
That's right.
I tell you, the Word of God is so valuable to you. If you will take it and begin to speak it in your situation, It's like taking supernatural vitamins and minerals. It'll build up your heart, and you can meet any mountain that's in your life.
That's right, and we all have those, and we all have the challenges every day. We all face challenges to help us grow, and part of that is a wonderful growth process. Hebrews 10, one of your favorite verses is 10:35. I cast not away my confidence, for it has a great reward. And that's a building up scripture, because in verse 38 of Hebrews 10, it says, the righteous man lives by faith, but he who shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. God has no pleasure in the person who's timid. He has no pleasure in the person who shrinks back from his calling. And God wants you to get up there, build up the confidence, and go for it.
You know, I have a lot of friends, and I did a lesson on this one time. I said, I have a lot of friends that are shrinks. People looked at me and said, you mean psychologists, psychiatrists, counselors? No, they shrink back.
Yes.
We can't shrink back.
No, we can't.
God wants us. In fact, when the children of Israel were shrinking back, it cost them their lives.
Mm-hmm.
They said, oh, we're too afraid to go over there and take the promised land. There's giants over there.
Oh, we're just grasshoppers in their sight.
We're going to die and our children are going to die. We'd rather go back into slavery in Egypt, you know. In fact, we missed the leeks and the garlic, and that was home. And that was the only home we've ever known. Although it was slavery, we want to go back there. And God got so angry.
Oh, he did.
He said, all right, for every day the spies were over there seeing truth, and you've chosen to reject it, you're going to spend 1 year in the wilderness going around until all of you adults die, and then I will take your children into the promised land.
That's right.
Because they didn't make the conscious decision, you did. And here you saw me do miracles. You saw me open the Red Sea. You saw me destroy the gods of Egypt. And now you want to go back there? And see, God may be saying that to you today. There may be a mountain of unemployment. Maybe you just lost your job. You're saying, oh my, I wasn't prepared for that. Here I got the pink slip and I'm out on the street and I've got to go find work, and you know, I'm just uncomfortable with that, and you know, I don't like this, and you know, God's there.
Oh, he sure is.
And he can help you remove the mountain. And by the way, the mountain you're facing here is not unemployment, it's fear.
Yes.
And you can speak to that spirit of fear and command it to rise up and be cast into the sea, and God will do that. He put that power in you to get rid of the mountains.
Absolutely. In Psalm 95, God talks about shouting for joy, singing for joy to the Lord, coming into his presence with thanksgiving. And the latter part of that chapter, and I would encourage you to read Psalm 95. It's a great, great chapter in the book of Psalms. It talks about how the people tried God's heart for 40 years. For 40 years, they erred in their heart. They would not know God's ways. So therefore, God swore in his anger they would not enter into his rest.
Amen. Amen. We're going to be talking more about this on side two. So why don't you advance your tape, turn it over, and we're going to go for it and get rid of some of those mountains.